I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available on podcasts, available on Alexa. How are you doing? So I celebrated my birthday on the 8th of November, and unfortunately last week I wasn't able to record a radio show. I had some family issues to sort out, but I am back. And I hope, like me at SassySexy62, you to remember that you are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. What a couple of weeks it has been. Myself and my sister were the same age for 12 days, so I'm just getting used to being the same age. And then when it's her birthday, which is tomorrow, she will be the year older than me again. But Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week is no different. Now, I was really blessed to speak with Katie Ashworth and Marnie George. And we spoke about gut health and how they are trying to get it into our children so that our children can improve their gut microbiome, therefore improve their health, which is a really interesting conversation because obviously we bring them into this world and we want them to have a great life moving forward. I also spoke with Joe Hemmings and we spoke about bagging a bargain. And for me, I took the conversation from a mental emotional standpoint of how we are with what we choose to do and the impact it can have on our inner well-being. But I want to start this week by talking about the wait times, the gynecology wait times, and how they have gone from, I know the numbers off by heart, how sad is this, from 340,400 pre-lockdown to 755,046 post-lockdown. Now, what I haven't got statistics on and what they were not statistics on was the number, or the clear there must be an increase in gynecological cancers for why the treatments around endometriosis, polyps, cysts, all of those things are being pushed further down and creating much bigger problems for those who are suffering from them with ruptured polyps, ruptured cysts. They're creating lesions from the endometriosis, which is causing torsion, and it's growing onto the bowel or the bladder, and then they're having to have a stoma bag on part of the bowel removed. It's far-reaching. But because it's not a cancer, it's not seen as being as urgent. But the quality of life for these women have just been stripped away, taken away, lost into the ether. But if you look at the amount of negligence claims or the NHS claims against negligence for gynecological issues, even when I did my research back in 2013, I mean, that's like 11 years ago, between 2000 and 2010, 20% of the negligence claims from the NHS for trauma in childbirth, it was 20% of the total negligence claims, but it was 49% of the payout. 5,500 women were paid over £31 million in compensation. And we don't seem to be getting any better now. As technology comes in, we've got AI, we have this, we have that. We do not seem to be able to look after women. Women's intimate health is really not being given the platform that it needs. And if it's been given a platform, we've given the biggest platform now to menopause. And my understanding of that reason why it's suddenly come into the forefront, because I know people who are celebrities, but when I wanted them to back the conversations I had from 10, 15 years ago, because I've been in this industry for over 20 years, they weren't willing to speak because they did not want to be seen as aging. And now those same women, all those people we followed, all those people in Friends, Jennifer Aniston and what's her name? I've forgotten her name now. The other lady's in there. I've forgotten it. I didn't really watch it. You look at those people. You look at Davina McCall. You look at the people we watch and we grew up with who are of the same age. And now they've got into the menopause and they're having these symptoms. That's why the platform is getting so much traction. But there have been women for years before having these issues. But remember, that's the end of the train journey. They've got to the end of the train journey. What we're looking at right now with the gynecological wait times and the pain and the suffering, the cost to industry and a woman's inability to remain productive at work, to be remain intimate in relationships, to have the social connections, to have the quality of life. Now that's the start and the middle of the train journey. That's menstruation and menopause. And that's why when I do my work, it's from menstruation to menopause. I haven't jumped on a bandwagon. I've always said it. It's the start of the train journey. The female intimate life cycle starts from the day of our first period. And the indicator for change is the day of the last one. That's the marker for our menopause. So we need to look at what we are doing for women, how we're doing for women, and how we can help them. So I went to an amazing business summit last Friday. Misha Raymond, absolutely fantastic. It wasn't on intimate health, but it was really about access to maybe businesses and finance and how you can work with corporates. And that's one of the things I'd love to be able to do. Yes, they've teamed up with the Royal College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or they're talking to well-being of women. But that approach is a good approach. But this unique approach that I take is not one that's being taken. What I do remember is this. As I said before, I published my first book in 2005. And the Chartered Association of Physiotherapists told me it was impossible to engage the pelvic floor through the vagina. Now, of course, that conversation they've been having for the last 10 years. But I published it in 2005. We've got to have a different approach, and we've got to understand what other muscles are actually fed by the same neurological loop as the pelvic floor. So that when we're looking at the pelvic floor, we have to understand why we need to look at the multifidus and the transverse. We need to understand why we need to look at the internal obliques, and we need to understand the sling system, why the latissimus dorsi and the upper back is important. We need to understand the impact just moving the toes can have, and where it's felt in the pelvic floor, blinking the eyes, coughing, sneezing, why it's felt in the pelvic floor. Nothing works on its own. So therefore, we have to be able to connect these things together so that we can help women. And this is why I run the workshop. So the next one again is this Saturday. I'm going to be looking at the ways in which we can start to revolutionize female intimate health, take back control, and have a better conversation so that we can work alongside the medical professionals, knowing that we have autonomy over our well-being, and where we need their help, we will get it. Not giving that autonomy to them and then wondering why things aren't working for us. But this is a great show. It's power-packed. And I hope that makes sense. Remember, you can find me on Instagram. If you look on Instagram, you'll also see my birthday. How can I forget my birthday? Sip and paint. I've never done it before. It was my pastor's daughter-in-law that did it first. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And I absolutely loved it. 10 of us went. My son's sister. It was so fantastic. My sisters, some of my friends. And there was 4 ladies there as well. And we had a ball. I was sitting down with my bottle of Bollinger champagne next to me in my artwork. I painted the sunset at Pelvic Secrets. Look on my Instagram. You'll see my pictures there. Last Friday after the Diverse Business Summit, I was an MC and a model. My friend's fashion show, the Clipper Lounge. Look out for those pictures. They're coming. But you can go onto my Instagram, click on the bio, and book your place in the workshop. If you can't make the live, don't worry about it. The recording will be sent. But I promise you, it's time for us to step up. Those figures, 340,400 to 755,046, are scary. You see how I got my birthday, the Diverse Summit, Bollinger, and everything into one conversation. I've got to get this show on the road. So let's play a trail. Let's play the first interview.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Today, I'm blessed to be speaking with Katie Ashraf and Marnie George, and we are talking about, how we can help children avoid unwanted health conditions by improving their gut health. So it's a story after my own heart. So Katie and Marnie, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, it's quite interesting that we look at the gut microbiome, we're looking at gut health, and a lot more people and adults now are looking at their nutrition and lifestyle, they're looking at the gut health, and now we're just thinking, okay, what about the children?
That's right, yeah, and that's what our mission is. We want to make sure that the children are as educated as they can be, because that's where it all begins. Everything begins with our children, so that's what creates lasting change. So we're on a mission to make sure that children are getting all of that vital information at an early age, so it's actually just completely normalized, rather than being something that we've got to then change our thinking around and our habits around, because we create habits at such a young age, don't we? So it's much easier to create lasting change with children than it is with adults.
So, I mean, this is quite an interesting subject, really, because the thing is, I specialize in female intimate health. And it, for me, it's from menstruation to menopause. Menopause has got a lot of traction because a lot of people that are in the media eye are of that age. So it's getting the traction that it needs. But obviously, we started with menopause, which means we've started with menstruation, which means we were teenagers first. So we were young children. So it's the same for gut microbiome. You know, the children of tomorrow, of yesterday or today, will be the adults of tomorrow. We were the children of yesterday. So why do you think it's taken so long for us, and why is it that we keep, because I find there's a big disconnect, we keep associating something that happens to all people to this is what adults have to look after, and all of a sudden we're like, hold on, what about the children?
Yes, frog in my throat.
I definitely think that the awareness around gut health is growing, especially around adults. And I do think a lot of that is down to social media. However, there still is quite a lot of misinformation on social media, and a lot of people still don't really understand the impact that your gut health can have on your body, because you can't really see your gut health like you might be able to see the health of other areas of your body, like your skin or your gums. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, a healthy gut could support effective digestion, it can support your immune system, it can support your mental health, and can even help reduce your risk of chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and also that your nutrition can have a huge part to play in your menstrual cycle as well. So I've actually worked quite a lot with some schools on delivering workshops around menstruation and nutrition and helping to educate teenage girls what they should be eating.
We need to talk then, because that's what I do as well. Katie, so is that frog in your throat gone now?
It's gone. Talk about bad timing. I'm so sorry. I was trying to be as discreet as possible without much success.
Don't worry, because I started off with that other frog in my throat as well. You know, Marnie just mentioned some really interesting things there, and I think, you know, it's not like I love the where you say it does play a major role in your menstrual cycle. It plays a massive role in digestion, assimilation and elimination. But, you know, the foundation of your health is in your gut. So what are the misconceptions that people have? Because I find that we just, like I said, we divide the body into pieces. Like, we put food in our mouth,
And we don't connect what we eat to how the body then functions. It's weird.
Yeah, there's a massive divide. I mean, I will say from a start off, I'm not the expert here. Marnie is defo the expert. I'm the person that makes it all fun. But I think there is a massive divide between, you know, what people haven't got the right information. And that's really what we're doing here. The thing that I'm really focused on is making sure that we get those lasting messages into the minds of children. And it's about how we do that, because these are really complex concepts for children's minds to grasp, right? It's quite hard for us to understand them as adults. And so how do we get this information into the mind of a child and keep it there? And I think that's what I'm really focused on. I can answer all the questions on that, but it's because I think making something like this fun, making it creative and playful, is going to get that in their mind, so that then they're remembering that information for the rest of their lives. It's gone in. And also through actually trying it and testing it and seeing and noticing the difference and doing these experiments. I mean, that's where we all realize that it's all about gut health when we start making those changes, and we notice the difference so quickly. So we're doing it with adults. Let's do it in children. So we're not having to do anything.
So, okay, I'm going to come back to you then, Marnie. And then I'm going to ask you again, Katie. Like, I'm going to get Marnie to give me some of the misconceptions. And then, Katie, I want you to tell me, because I, when I do pelvic floor, I do it the spoken word. And Jenny Seagrove wrote the forward for my second book and said it was a mix of science and humour sandwiched together in the most unusual way. And suddenly nothing's embarrassing and everything's important. And I think that's what I get when I'm listening to both of you, because that's the way people like to receive that information. It makes it more fun. So, Marnie, what are the misconceptions that people have around gut health? Because I know there's lots of misconceptions.
I think quite a large misconception in general is that people just don't really understand the why behind why they should be eating certain foods. So for example, just in general around healthy eating, lots of times when I'll go into schools, you will ask children, why do you need to eat fruits and vegetables? And you will let them put their hands up and give their answers, and most of them will always say, because it's healthy for you. However, I don't really think people massively understand the why behind it's healthy for you. So the fruits and vegetables contain vitamins, minerals, and fiber, and that's why they are so healthy. But I think a lot of the time children are just bombarded with messaging of, oh, well, you have to do this because it's healthy, but they don't understand the why behind that. And then also linking some of the foods into what they can be eating to start making sure that they're having a balanced gut microbiota and the benefits that it can have for them and their body, and just in general, really building those healthy habits early, like Katie was just mentioning earlier.
Yeah, and I think there's a good point you made there, because the word healthy means so many things to so many people. So if you just tell someone to do it because it's healthy, you're right. What does healthy mean to you? What is the why? What does healthy mean? What is it? Because I don't think people really understand the word healthy. So you'll get people say that I eat a healthy diet, but they have really stinking thinking, as we call it. So they don't realize the emotional, hormonal connection there and the impact that has on their gut. So there's so many facets to it. I think it makes it quite hard. So Katie, how do you then take this wonderful information that Marnie has and then add the fun to it?
Great question. I'm definitely prepared to answer that one.
I'm so glad.
I'm sitting there going, I'm definitely not qualified for that question, nor that one. Before I answer that question about how to make it fun, I just want to add something to what Marnie was just saying, because I was thinking about this yesterday, and I think it's about, it's the children learn from the people around them. Most of what children learn, their behaviour, they learn it from watching their elders, from watching the people around them, the adults. So the way that we act, if we're on our phone all the time, well, they're going to want to be on a screen all the time, because they're like, well, that's normal. So it's enormously about adults being educated and setting an example as well. So, you know, I think there's habitual things that adults say to children, you know, like, oh, eat your carrots. So they're, you know, what's that saying? So you can see in the dark, isn't it?
In the dark, yeah.
Carrots. Apparently that comes from World War II, I was reading. Apparently it's something about World War II that we said, all of our soldiers have been eating carrots so they can see in the dark. It's not completely true, obviously. But it does help with things to do with your eyesight. But there's these habitual things that we say to children, and they'll just soak everything up that we say. So if we know what we're talking about, we can give them the right information when they ask. And children are like sponges. I mean, the neuroplasticity of their brains when they're young, it's like, God, they can soak up everything. I mean, children can soak up languages so much quicker than adults can, can't they? So making it fun, I mean, it is, you know, by making something creative, there's much higher chance that a child is going to retain the information because they had fun whilst they were doing it, or they were laughing whilst they were doing it. I mean, I always remember a song in French at school. Quel est le date de ton anniversaire? I mean, I'm 38 now, and I remember that from when I was like a child, because it was
still a baby.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice ego boost for the morning. But we'll remember it if it's in a song or if it's in a playful way, or maybe we make a piece of art about it. I mean, there's a wonderful opportunity for teachers here to combine those creative topics that children do not have enough time to immerse themselves in at school with food education. You know, there's a cross combination of topics here. Use art, use drama. You could do role play. I mean, you can act. Yeah. Different parts of the gut biome, you know, you can act it all out. There's, you know, you are talking to a creative here, but I'm a massive believer in the importance of creativity and play. And when, you know, there's really, really vital information here that's going to, you know, dictate the level of health that child's going to have as they grow older, there's a playful way that you can do it that's going to make it easier for them to retain that information.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I'm going to come back to you again, Marnie, because I mean, like you said, Katie, I love to do things. I mean, I'm going to show my age, because you can go and look up, right? Billy, Don't Be a Hero. That's how old I am. Yeah. Then you know that song. That's a really old song. You guys are thinking, what song is that? We'll look it up. But yeah, so, you know, even, you know, my age, you just remember songs of when you was young, because things that make you happy and make you laugh, you're going to always remember those things. You know, you said, putting it into some kind of play or form. But I think, yeah, Marnie, this is so important because, I mean, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, and this is right my topic, that the list for gynae wait times has increased from like 340,000 to 755,000. And so I put a post on LinkedIn about, you know, it's time for us to start looking after our health, and the time for us to really be mindful of, you know, understanding the gut, understanding its implications for like every other area of our health and vitality as we grow, how we grow, as we grow. Even the impact on our menstrual cycle, and then obviously then on maternity and into the menopause, it's important for us to try and have some kind of autonomy over our bodies, because it's not for the NHS to fix us. It's for us to not to have to use the NHS unless it's, you know, like an emergency, you know, and so that we have a better quality of life. And I think that's what it's really about. So these children are, you know, we do spend more time on the screens now. We, you know, I grew up going roller skating one day, badminton the next day, trampoline the next day. That's not what the children are doing today. So we want to make sure they've got the energy and the vitality, and to have a creative mind, like you say, Katie, so that they can actually open up their creativity. And those things, would you agree, Marnie, will be impacted by their gut health?
100%. I think it's also such a difficult environment to navigate nowadays as well, because you're actively being advertised food which might maybe not support a diverse gut microbiome, and also bombarded with so much messaging on social media of what you should be doing every single day, a different diet every single month, and all of this messaging can be so confusing for people as well. So I think it's really important that we can help reinforce the basics into everything from such a young age, to ensure that when they're growing up, they're not questioning what is nutritious for their body, and they have all of this information from the start.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time, but I just want to share a quick story, then ask them where they can get more information. And then obviously the link is to try and get them to share that with their parents, because sometimes it's good for them to go and tell their parents. When my son was young, one of my clients looked after him after school. I went to do another client. And when I went to pick him up, I felt so embarrassed. Because again, it's a language that, as you said, Katie, the language you use. So she'd taken her children to McDonald's, and she asked my son, did he want McDonald's? And he said, no, thank you. She goes, and then he said, it's really bad the way parents make their children eat such junk.
Oh, how funny.
So I don't remember telling him that, but I told him it's junk food. But It's the way he then said it, you know, and it's, again, how do they take that information in? And then that's how he relayed it back to her. I felt so embarrassed because so kids are in there. And he just said to her, it's really bad that their parents make their children eat such junk. So, you know, it's just like, it's really bad.
Embarrassment, but also a bit of pride in there as well. I mean, that's
No. So very quickly then, because I know we're running over time, but please just give me 2 minutes. Marnie, how do you link this information with parents? How do you get the children, because the children can inspire parents as well, number one. And number two, because I know I'm going to get slaughtered if I don't get off this call.
Yeah, because we had a live one to go to 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, okay. Where can people go to get more information?
So I generally think the NHS can be a very good website. There is also other nutritional portals that you can go to. For example, the British Dietetic Association, the BDA, they have a great website, and so do the BNF as well. So that's the British Nutrition Foundation. If any parents are looking for more information around this spotlight session that we're doing, education in schools, and also Chartwell's messaging, they can go and have a look at our website as well. So all of this is all about Chartwell's launching our spotlight session and education resource.
And your website is?
I believe it's chartwells.co.uk, but I probably
okay. Don't worry, ladies. Thank you so much for your time. I'd love to be able to talk to you both further, but have an absolutely fantastic day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Black Friday is soon upon us, so that means there's more deals to have before Christmas. And I am blessed to be speaking with Joe Hemmings, behavioral psychologist, and we are looking at the different types of generations and how excited they get and the glow they have from bagging a deal. So Joe, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, I know. I thought let me just do a bit of research. I want to know the differences between generation X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Where do I fit in? Where does my oldest son fit in? Where does my youngest son fit in? And then try and work out whether these statistics actually apply in my house in terms of who's the savviest in trying to bag a deal and who's not.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's a good way to start. So research done by ID Mobile was looking at who are the savviest bargain hunters who get this bargain glow from getting a good deal. So it's younger people generally. So it's Gen Z, 12 to 27. millennials, 28 to 43, they're the ones who are kind of, I think because they've grown up with online shopping, they're very astute, they're very savvy, it comes naturally to them. It drops off a bit by Gen X, 44 to 49. Don't know where you fit into that. I definitely do.
Yeah, I keep going up. I don't, mate. I'm way past that. I'm before that.
Are you? You're a baby boomer. Yeah, baby boomer.
Yeah, I'm a baby boomer, mate. Well, I'm right, still, like, baby boomer.
I think it's just, yeah, it's people who have, it comes as second nature to shop around for the best deals. I mean, they just would never consider the young generation of going online, seeing something and buying it without thinking, hold on a minute, where can I get it at a better price? So the thing with ID Mobile is that instead of having the pressure of doing it just on Black Friday, where we know the deals are coming, they're doing it over the whole of the month. So people can save up to £240, for example, on their phone contract. So in a way, they're taking some of the pressure off people who, you know, are desperate to buy something and spend on Black Friday, but they've got actually the whole month of November to think about how can they save a lot over a long period of time. I think that bargain glow is very often referred to as, wow, I've grabbed one item 30% cheaper than it was in another store online. But actually, your real bargains are those that cross over a long period of time, like a mobile phone contract, like your utility bills, the things that we sort of look at and think, I need to bring them down. What can I get? When's the best time to get them? And they'll last longer period of time.
I think it's quite interesting. And I suppose really psychologically, you know, is there an anxiety attached to these things as well? Because, you know, I find sometimes that, like my sister, she is, you know, she's a year older than me, but she can take up to a year to make a decision about one thing. She will spend her time and look around online and look to see if this is a bargain here. And by the time she's done it, I think the bargain's long gone.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but I think that is down to people's character. Yeah, there is a sort of instant gratification culture that younger people have. I mean, I don't know many that would wait a year, even wait a few weeks to shop around. So it's that sense of you've got to get it now at this price. And then when you've got it, of course, and you feel, you know, you get the adrenaline rush when you're buying it, you get the dopamine, the reward hormone when you've got it because you successfully bagged a bargain. A year is a long time, but I think very stoic. I don't know what your sister's character's like, but she's very patient.
No, I just think it's just very, I think it's crazy myself. I feel in that case, when you say this now, I feel like then I really fit in, even though I was born in 1962. I think really my body still acts like it was born in 2007 because I like to see a bargain and buy it now. You know, I'm just like, gotta have it.
Well, you're like me, and so do I. And that's partly, and it's not just because I've got kids of the younger, in the younger age groups. It's just, I think if you're technologically savvy and you're good with money and you know you're watching the kind of programs, you might be watching the Martin Lewis show, whatever it is, or something that keeps reminding you, or TV adverts of get a good deal, then it goes into our brains that is something we've thought about buying. I don't know, say it's an air fryer. Wow, it suddenly dropped down in price. You would never sit and think, oh, I'll leave it. It'll still be at the same price in 6 months' time because it kind of, well, it might be less, but nobody wants to take the risk point of doing that.
So I suppose really then you've got, you know, there was the whole thing before we had the crash in 2008 of buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
And that's kind of changed now with the onset of companies like Klarna, where you can spread the payments over sort of 3 months. And do you think that the Gen Z are taking advantage of that as well?
I think they are, and maybe a bit too much advantage, if I'm really honest, because it's being sort of rammed down our throats now, this pay in three. Now, if you're going to do everything, it's going to catch up with you at some point. And I suppose the difference between something like Klarna and say buying a mobile phone contract from ID Mobile is you're locked in on a monthly basis to paying your, it's you know, you can save up to 240 quid a year doing it, and they've got 2 million customers. You've done that bargain, but it's still repaying you over a long period of time. I think with Klarna, it's almost the opposite. You've got the very thing you want, but you're not really taking in. Bargain hunters don't think about the fact that they've then got to pay two further installments. And if you're doing that across a wide range of products, it's
it will add up.
Credit of another sort, isn't it, really? I get worried for people who kind of conveniently forget they've got another two installments to pay over a lot of items. I personally don't think it's been encouraged. I think it's great on the occasional time, but if that is your persistent way of shopping, I think you could get anxious actually about that.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing, I suppose, really, there's a, so, and even like you said, you know, with a mobile phone contract, you've got, you're tied in now, used to be tied in for like 12 months, yes. And it went to 18 months, now it's like 24 months. So you're saving a deal, but you've got to make sure that the service that's going to follow through will be there. Because once you're in, you're locked in for 2 years. So that's quite a period of time as well to commit to something.
It is. And I think, therefore, you've got to not just shop around for a good deal, but ensure you're getting a good company, a fair company who will deal with any issues that you have. You know, ID Mobile will certainly do that. You know, they're there for you if you've got issues, but it is another consideration. Sometimes, you know, they'll say, won't they, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So if you're getting something at a real bargain price, but you can't get any support for it, then it's not so much of a bargain after all, because you've either got to replace it or pay for repairs or whatever it may be. So, but I think, you know, Gen Z and millennials are really clued up on all this, really. They get the thrill seeking, the bargain glow from buying, and it now feels like a bit of a status symbol, because I mean, one of the questions I've got in front of me that you haven't asked me, but I thought it was quite interesting, telling other people you got a bargain, does that make you feel smug? Well, I kind of think you're sharing actually your success. You're almost advertising it and saying, I can get it here, you can too. So I suppose...
Yeah, I wouldn't say I feel smug. Sorry, no, to cut you. I would say that, exactly what you said. If I see a really good bargain, I will tell people, you know, click onto this because this bargain is available.
You might as well share it. It's not the only one. It's not like it's one item. So you can share it. And I think that does, you know, you obviously on a station about all about health. You know, it's good for our well-being. It's good for that sense of achievement and fulfillment. I think if I didn't do that and shop around, I would personally feel quite frustrated, particularly if I came across the same item that was at a considerable discount after I'd bought it. That, yeah, you know, it's not about having the money. It's about being savvy and...
Yeah.
And that is a kind of rewarding feeling because you've treated yourself maybe to something. It could be everyday items like groceries. I think they're almost top of the list. But, you know, you have to have those. Clothing's the next one down. You don't have to have those. So getting a bargain is...
Electronics is where the bargains are, isn't it? You know, and I suppose really you think about it, you know, we were born just at the sort of the cusp of the internet era. And it was much more, you know, it was totally different. My oldest son is 30. He was born when, you know, this stuff has started to become, you know, he's like a tech native. And then, of course, the youngest is just born into it. The young children today, 2 and 3 years of age, they're taking the phone and they're showing you how to use it.
I know. Again, it's quite frightening about all that. But I think, can you remember a time? I mean, you obviously, we're similar ages. When there was no internet, how did we do anything? I sometimes look back and think, how on earth did I manage to research stuff for writing, or be in touch with the latest?
We went to the library. We read books.
Yeah, you know. Well, I still read books. I just don't go to a library. But
yeah,
just can't remember how on earth I did simple everyday tasks.
No, it's weird. And even made simple phone calls. You went to the phone box if you didn't have a phone in your house. Yeah, you know,
that's right.
It's, you know, you never told, your parents didn't know what you're doing all the time. And so there's a big difference. I remember my niece, who's 14 now, I remember my brother, they live in Brighton. I'm in London. And he brought her down to London one time, and they were going to see a gynecologist. My sister-in-law was pregnant again. And they asked me to look after Sadie Rose for a bit. And I bought her an ice cream. And then I took a picture of her with the ice cream. And then she said to me, she went, hold on a minute. She took the ice cream like this. And then she put it under the table. And I took another picture. Can I see that? And then I was like, why? She goes, because I've already had ice cream today. I could have knocked her out. She was only like 3 and a half. She didn't know what to do. So she hid the ice cream to make sure it went back to her mum and dad. They wouldn't see that she had ice cream. I was just like, how do they know these things?
Yeah, because it's sort of, you know, people sometimes say your brains become hardwired. I mean, I don't think at that young age, but they picked up and absorbed a lot of what other people do and the way they live their lives with photos and so on. And they kind of, yeah, just, it starts very, very early. There were, one of the worst things I saw, actually, I didn't like it, was a, it's like a baby walker that had an iPad section in the front of it. You know, when they're just learning to toddle and they can't do it on their own. I thought,
that's so,
yeah, my honestly, kids have one with little colored balls on them or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought, I've got an iPad thing fixed on the tray. No. That feels a bit too early and
too much. Yeah. Optometrists are going to be in business in the next 20 years and some serious business. But I think also, like, I suppose with, you know, Gen Z, with it, where they've got their phones and whatever, there's so much into their phones, actually. It's not the car that's the danger, it's the pedestrian now, because there's no differentiation between the pavement and the road, because they're not in pain, they're just paying attention to their phones. So I think they're savvy in one way, but I'm not sure if this you know, the technology is going to be the making of them or the undoing, because it just makes it, you know, very hard, because they're so into the technology and the equipment, they're not paying attention to you. I think the sensorial skills that we had are being lost. I think the communication that we had, it, you know, sent the touch, the feel.
Oh, which, I agree. You know, I've always felt lost. This. It's a mixed bag, you know, but what I do think is the cork's off the bottle. So all you can really do is teach people responsible phone use in whichever way that is. Excuse me. Because it's never going to stop happening.
No.
But, right, I agree. But, you know, if they are going to be glued to their phones and that's how they're going to do their shopping. I mean, again, this ID mobile research said that they, more than a third of Gen Z and millennials, confess they're more excited about Black Friday sales than Christmas. So I think this is about self-gifting, right? That's about you are buying something for yourself at the best price. And, of course, Christmas is always one of those times. Yeah, it's lovely to be with family, but Auntie Mabel's going to give you a gift that she thinks is perfect for you, and you're going to try and look your happiest when you open it, thinking, oh, my goodness.
Can I take it back?
Yeah, that's right. Has it still got the label on it?
Yeah. I think, you know, I suppose Gen Z and Gen X now are just Gen Y, whatever. They're telling us what they want. And most of the time, you know, these days, a lot of them want money because they're taking that money to go and bag themselves a bargain. And I think the whole thing around Christmas and gifting and Black Friday is it takes away from Christmas almost. Well, Christmas, Jesus, I'm a Christian.
I know that
Jesus is the reason for the season, but I think the gifting now has started so early. That the whole thing is morphing into one. So that makes it quite hard. And so I suppose really for companies like, you know, mobile companies and electronic companies, whatever, they're looking for ways to actually, they're making their bargains better because they're obviously looking to capture the customers.
Yes, they are. I mean, I think in my, you know, when I'm buying gifts, I've got a slightly mad family situation at Christmas. So it's my birthday, Christmas Day. It's also my son's birthday, Christmas Day, right? My eldest son. So
born on the same day as you. Amazing.
Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah, there's a lot of present buying having to go on. But I just say to him, what do you want early on enough so that I can shop on Black Friday and get it as a bargain? And then by the time Christmas comes, but sometimes he's forgotten what he's even asked for. But yeah, you know, I think that's the way. You just got to sort of play the system the best for you. But I do think those long-term deals, like my son bought me flowers fortnightly one Christmas, which he now, poor thing, can't stop because he would feel really mean if he stopped these fortnightly flowers coming, but still has to buy me something else because it's my birthday. So it's ticking a lot of boxes for me.
Yeah, I'm a November baby. My birthday was last week, so I know that whole thing. But whereas my son is, my oldest son is June. I think it's perfect. He's like half the year. So 6 months, I get something. 6 months, I get something.
Yeah.
And the other one's April. So it's just like, yeah, it's just a weird one. Well, now
I've stopped counting the years. I'm quite happy that people forget that it's my birthday on Christmas.
Oh, do you know what? I just say that now. I just call myself, like I said, I was sassy, sexy, 62. That's all I talk about, just being sassy and sexy.
You do. You look fabulous, actually, to be fair.
Thank you. Just sassy, sexy. Just love my jumping around. Do you do any sports?
I do a lot of gym stuff. I do reformer Pilates that I love. I don't know, just because I feel it sort of stretches a part of me and does my core and I feel good after it. So yeah, gym and reformer Pilates, not really any. I live by the sea. I live in Brighton also, actually.
Lovely.
I go and swim in the sea, not this time of year, but as much as I can in summer months.
Very nice.
I can't keep fit. You know.
Yeah, I play tennis. I go to the gym, I play tennis. But you can, behind me, you see my little Swiss ball. I teach Swiss ball online, but I live with a Swiss ball. That's like the best bit of kit in the gym. So, I use that all the time.
I'll have to have a separate talk with you because I see them in the gym and I don't really know what I'm meant to do with them.
Oh, I had DVDs on them from 1994. Oh, Joe, we'll have to definitely speak there. Once you got one of those, that's it. I take it on holiday. It goes everywhere. I know we've gone off script now. It's like, nothing to do with bargain.
I'm definitely interested in them because what are you doing with them?
My God, they do everything. Honestly, if I showed you what I did for my birthday on the ball, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see all my stuff. People are just like, how are you working on that ball? I play tennis, but I practice my tennis shots on the ball and swinging my racket and everything. Whilst I lean on the ball, I squat on the ball, I do everything. It's the best. If you talk about flexibility, that will give you flexibility, like second to none. That reformer Pilates, nothing can touch that. That ball can do everything. It's absolutely amazing.
It's a lot cheaper than going to reformer Pilates. I'm just waiting for their Black Friday deal so I can buy another.
You can buy one. Oh, gosh. Denise just got a beautiful machine at home. A couple of months ago, she got the whole big machine at home. It's amazing.
I don't know if I do it at home. I think it's better for me to know that I've got a class booked and I'll go out and do it because with any sports machine I've ever bought, it's sort of ended up having a second
purpose. In the clothes rack.
Yeah. Basically.
Do you think Gen Z and would be like this? Would they be savvy with sports equipment? Because I see, like, now I belong to David Lloyd's and I see a lot of Gen Z now in the gym. And I know David Lloyd's have changed their model, and so that the aim they're aiming at is that younger, you know, Gen Z. Is Gen Z sort of it's
12 to 27.
Yeah. But you're getting a lot of them in the gym now, and obviously 27 to 42, who are now looking after themselves. I'm finding now, which is a really good thing, that they are, and there's a lot of deals to be had as well. And I suppose even with the gyms, there's a lot of deals to be had, and they are there. They are in the gym, and you go to the gym. There's a lot of young people now who are actually looking after their health. Yes, all the gym machines have TV screens, and a lot of these young people are in the gym with their mobile phones. And they're filming themselves doing movements. They're filming themselves exercising, you know, and they're taking selfies. They're in the gym. So, you know, I think, you know, go back to I'll swing it around so we don't get told off. But if you look at the mobile phone, you know, initially it was a phone, that big brick. Now it's a smart tool. It's what you answer your emails on. It's what you have your meetings on. It's how you communicate in social media. It's what, you know, it's without the mobile phone, I think, you could have a detox. So they've done mobile phone detoxes, but I think Gen Z would struggle a lot because everything about their identity and who they are and everything about who they are is in this one little.
Absolutely. I mean, people get separation anxiety when their phones are taken away. I work on quite a lot of, as a duty of care psychologist, on reality TV shows where phones are taken away for a period of time. And actually some of them dread it. Others think it would be good for them to have a digital detox. And a lot of these are influencers are constantly on their phones. Mm. Yeah, you know, again, that cork is off that bottle. And, you know, it's, I always think it is just responsible phone usage. Don't be on it all the time. I think sad when you're in the gyms. I think gym is part of health, well-being, you know, a focus that takes you away from your phone. To still be taking selfies or doing whatever you're doing on it while you're on a treadmill just kind of defeats the purpose a bit to me, but that's because I'm not in that generation. So
exactly, exactly. But that's why I like to play tennis, because there's the one place where you can't take your phone. Because you, tennis racket and the ball are not working. Yeah, exactly. But where can people go to get more information?
So there's more information on all the deals that are running throughout November on idmobile.co.uk.
And that is the end of that. I actually don't have any time. I've got less than 30 seconds. So if you would like to book your space on this Saturday's workshop, then you just need to go to pelvicsecrets@icloud.com, or you could go onto my Instagram, X, it's at pelvicsecrets. You'll find the link on my Instagram page for sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook at Jenny Russell. But until next week, in health and happiness, if it's your birthday and you're a Scorpio, the last of Scorpio days, have a blessed one. Stay safe. Stay well.